The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Chewy, let me say this. If you do get detained in Turkey, okay. I really enjoyed our time together. I enjoyed working with you and getting to know you. It's been a great pleasure and honor of mine. If it doesn't work out there and you don't make it back, our thoughts are with you. I just want you to know.
Name one paranormal thing that happened to you.
I knew I was going to be bald.
Your father's bald.
Baldness is inherited from the mother's side, Jerry.
But your mother's bald, too.
Hey, George, you know, my friend goes to a psychic.
Really?
Uh-huh. We should go sometime.
I'd love to go. Make an appointment.
Adam, I will haunt you. I will haunt you the rest of your life.
The list of people that you will haunt.
He's number one.
Martin's spirit came to you as a warning.
Why would he come to George?
Because George has heightened extrasensory perception. Faithy, get your finger out of your nose.
I knew it. I always felt different.
You are.
I'm just telling you right now. Chewie's getting on that plane. He's going to be thinking of me.
Of course I am.
Remember the other day you were saying something about my trip?
Don't take that trip.
Why? Why?
Because. All right, Rule, it's time to go.
Yeah, because. Are the terrorists on the plane? A hotel fire. Is that it?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight, he ain't doing nothing.
Josh, I didn't think we were that bad at me from yesterday.
What'd you do?
He's blacking me out on the stream today. Just no. If you go over to YouTube, it's just it's a split screen of Chewy and a black screen. I didn't realize Joshy. I mean, I thought we were fine, man.
I did too. I think I've been sabotaged. I think something. The program isn't working at all right now, so people aren't going to be able to watch on YouTube for a bit here.
Oh, okay. So it's not even up on YouTube right now. Okay.
No.
Because I just have this little preview screen, and that's what I see. I just see a black screen where I'm supposed to be, and a, again, it's nice to see the big man in live and living color.
Yeah. How we doing?
How are you doing? You got senioritis?
A little bit, half a cup.
Okay. So for those who don't know, you're leaving. You're going to be here tomorrow.
I will.
I will not be. But yes. You're going to be here tomorrow, and then tomorrow evening you are leaving to go on a cruise in Greece.
Yes. But between the going-ons in the world and Adam Schefter, I'm a little nervous.
What about... Okay. I understand the goings-on in the world because you're traveling to, internationally. Yes. I understand. What does Adam Schefter have to do with anything?
Were you here Wednesday?
I was not.
He said there's a travel warning.
I just played the open. Yeah. It was part of that.
Turkey.
Okay.
In Turkey, and I have to go through Istanbul. You know what, though? I'm going to live by what I always say.
Rule number one, big guy.
Yeah.
Can't play scared.
Can't play scared. If I die, I die. Kirk Cousins. Am I right?
I don't think that's a Kirk Cousins quote.
Yeah, it is.
I have to hit it.
Wait, but is that Chewy was that Kirk Cousins?
Holy Chewy was right.
I think he was talking in regards COVID. To the COVID, right?
Yes, it was when he was being asked about COVID and the dangers and all that, and his response was, if I die, I die.
So that was off of the Drago, if he dies, he dies.
I must break you. I ain't breaking anyone over there.
Well, yeah, but then at the end when, Apollo's laying there.
Yeah.
If he dies, he dies.
You can't play scared.
All right, so you're not going to play scared.
At least I'm going down in first class, I guess.
So. See, you sound scared.
It's better.
I ain't going to lie.
Who are you trying to convince you're not playing scared? Seems like you're trying to convince yourself. Yes, yeah. Is what it seems like to me. So the Green Bay Packers did pick up a win. You were not here for Victory Monday, as they were able to, go on the road, beat up on Tennessee. Did you have any initial thoughts that you wanted to share about the Packers?
Initial thoughts weren't really about the Packers. It was more about how embarrassed would you be if you are the Tennessee Titans franchise? A guy you casted off, a guy you didn't give a chance to, comes in and kind of beats your ass.
I mean, he didn't kind of.
He did. Well, I mean, his numbers weren't, you know, 34 of 38.
Best numbers of his career, though.
Best numbers of his career. Just goes to show you, and hopefully this reaffirms the fact that when I say there's bad coaches and there's bad organizations in the NFL, this is a perfect example because this guy has talent, but you don't know how to extract that talent out of him because you suck.
What percent of coaches do you think are bad in the league? Like, I mean, just in general, is it 40% of coaches are bad, 30%?
No, I don't think it's that high. But it's, I mean, there's a good number of them. I would say on our staff, and even during the Super Bowl era, there were three coaches that had no influence whatsoever. They were just really considered babysitters.
But that's on a good staff. You know what I'm saying?
That's on a good staff.
Like, you guys, you guys were really good.
Yes.
But, like, this Titans staff, or even if we want to hit it closer to home, like, the Chicago Bears staff is very stinky.
Yes, and we said that all along about the Bears.
Yeah.
Listen, Bears fans should listen to us. Now, there's going to be a little bit of hate, but we're going to shoot you straight when we say, you guys do the same thing every single year. We're great. We're great. We love this quarterback. Oh, you suck.
Well, and because the crazy part is, and I know, Josh, you clapped back at Big Cat last week. I don't know if you continued to do so. I don't know if you tweeted out the picture of, God, it's going to be tough to top. Chew. I don't know if you've seen it. I'll show it to you. But there is a picture of the Bears going for it on fourth down. It's fourth and goal from inside, you know, right around the 1 yard line. And they're running this option play.
Yeah.
They have four offensive linemen on the ground and just every defensive lineman from the Colts running at their running back. It is really bad. So I don't know if you shared that picture with Big Cat, Josh, if you decided to rub it in his face anymore this week and, you know, get the Barstool boys all fired up at you again.
I didn't. I was just laughing at all of them saying how we suck again.
Because it
was 3 weeks ago that they were saying that's an 11-win, 12-win team.
Well, because the crazy part is, Josh, like the thought process of, oh, that's the best, you know, in terms of talent. And I still stand by this. Talent-wise, that team's got a lot of talent. And in terms of a number one pick landing there, like, I don't know if you could ask for anything better. Because you compare this year's number one pick and the talent he had to last year's number one pick in Bryce Young, and the best thing he had was an old, washed-up Adam Thielen, right? In terms of talent around you.
Sure.
It just tells you how bad the coaching staff is that they can't figure anything out over there.
Yeah, but that's on all three because, I mean, you even look at the Packers and their offensive line isn't uber talented. They're talented.
They've got a couple guys you really like.
They get the most out of their players, right?
Well, but that's been, I mean, the offensive line coaches.
Back to when I
played. That's what I was about to say. I mean, the offensive line coaches realistically have been just as impressive as any other type of run.
And if you look at our offensive line in the Super Bowl years, they were good. They weren't great. Well, they were good, but he got the most out of them. And he knew what they can't do, and he knows what they can do.
Arguably, your best offensive lineman retired right before the season.
Yeah.
And Ken Rutgers.
We didn't have one Pro Bowler on that offensive line.
No.
Through their entire career, we didn't have one Pro Bowl. As the number one offense in football.
Frankie made one.
Not under my rules, though.
Wait, you're telling me that Frank, it didn't count? He was an alternate?
Yeah.
No, come on.
Yeah, he was the first alternate.
Because I mean, I remember, there is a picture of the three of you that I remember. Like, it was either before or after the game. You guys are all in the, you know, when they used to do, like, the Hawaiian-type jerseys.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that.
Yeah, no.
So wait, you guys were in Hawaii and you were telling them. Yeah,
no, I didn't go that year because Keith made it and I was the first alternate. I was the first alternate.
Yeah, because Frank is listed as a Pro Bowler here on his Wikipedia page from 1996. And typically they don't list. Let's see what his Pro Football Reference page says. And it says Pro Bowl. Usually they don't list the alternates on the Pro Football Reference. Are you sure he was an alternate?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was. Well, yeah, you know why I know he was? Because we were both first alternates, and I was pissed off that he went and I didn't. That's how I know.
So you would have counted this had you been invited, is what you're saying.
Do you think I would have counted it if I did make it as a first alternate?
Yeah, I think so.
I know that.
Absolutely. Because four sounds better than three.
I was about to say four-time Pro Bowler.
All right, back to the game, though.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Game plan was great. Mm-hmm. They didn't ask Malik to do too much. He made some really, really nice plays. He made some good throws. Defensively, they looked pretty damn good. Turnovers. I mean, look, what are their turnovers on the year? Eight or nine?
So they have seven interceptions and I believe now two fumble recoveries. They recovered one from the first game, and then, again, Will Levis having just funny pictures of Lucas Van Ness diving over the top of them to grab a fumble. So,
I mean,
he has nine.
Back to the whole Malik thing. Will Levis has no business being a starting quarterback. And right now, they're destroying that guy. And it seems to me they don't even care.
Oh, yeah.
Because I actually thought they were going to bench him at halftime and put Rudolph in.
Oh, okay.
I actually thought they were going to do that, and I was surprised they didn't. Which leads me to believe, is it coming from up above the head coach?
It's very possible. Anytime you draft a quarterback, that has to come into play. And you've shared the story of, if anybody doesn't think that happens, I mean, that it didn't happen at the quarterback position with you guys, but it happened with a top five pick.
Yeah,
that the coaching staff didn't want to play.
Yeah,
but Ron said, "Hey, you're starting T-Buck."
Yeah, so that does happen. It's just, you know what? Bottom line, who cares what's happening in Tennessee? They're a dumpster fire. They're moving forward. But this league is very, very bizarre. Very bizarre. Right? San Francisco losing two in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas losing two in a row. Minnesota's 3-0. Not only 3-0, they take down a top 10 team 34-7. I mean, what the hell? The Bengals are 0-3, who look terrible.
Yeah, I think the Bengals have shoes.
Yeah, they got a Joe Burrow issue.
Yeah.
Well, I think it stems a Mike Brown issue. I don't think.
Yeah. Everything's
cheap. Because you get into a locker room and you don't pay one guy. Because players are always going to back one another.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pay one guy and it's, hey, the owner's cheap and I don't want to play and this and that. So that's a little bit of a dumpster fire. But, I mean, if you look at elite teams, can you call a team elite now, three games in?
So let me run this by you, because this was something I was kind of workshopping a little bit yesterday. So typically in the preseason, like, you guys would play, I mean, maybe you would play like a series into the fourth game, you know, just to do it. But realistically, I mean, you would play, what, a quarter in the first one, maybe a little bit into the second quarter in the third one. Third game was the dress rehearsal. You'd come out after halftime.
Yeah.
So I think after 3 weeks, like, that's kind of the new preseason.
Yeah.
Like, teams, we should be able to start judging teams, I think, maybe starting next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to play the Colts first, Tennessee second, and then Philly.
Yes. I would agree.
That would have been ideal. But you have to ding the Packers a little bit, because you lost to a good team and you beat two craptastic teams. Right? With a backup quarterback, so there's something to be said for that. I don't know if I'm putting them with Buffalo. I mean, who else is there?
That's a big step.
Whoa. I mean, I figured we were going to get to this in power rankings, because I'm assuming Buffalo is going to be up there, but you're in on my guy. They're playing well.
He's the runaway MVP right now, and I don't think it's close.
All right, let me ask you this, because I haven't looked at power rankings at all, and obviously we're going to get to it.
Yeah.
But do you put Minnesota in front of Green Bay? You have to. You have to. They beat in San Francisco, and they beat in Houston.
Beating Houston, I will say this. I don't know if they are or are not. But I think Minnesota, in the way they beat Houston to this point through 3 weeks, is the most impressive win by anybody all year.
They might be the most impressive team to date this entire year. Did the Saints win or lose?
They lost.
They lost.
Okay.
To Philly.
So you'd have to say,
I don't know if they're the most impressive team.
No,
they're the most surprising team, without a doubt. They're the most surprising team, because
they're the most impressive team.
I left them for dead with Sam Darnold playing quarterback.
Now, is it sustainable? No. I don't think.
I have a hard time believing.
I don't think it's sustainable. I mean, at the end of the day, they finish
10-7. The Vikings have done this before with craptastic quarterbacks.
I know.
Remember the Case Keenum year?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they went to an NFC Championship game with Case Keenum. Or just missed out on the NFC Championship game with Case Keenum. I can't remember which.
But a quarterback playing with a lot of confidence is a pretty good thing to have.
Well, but again, it just goes you to show, back to your point of head coaching matters. Like if we're talking about Josh Allen being the runaway MVP through 3 weeks, I mean Kevin O'Connell, as good as Matt LaFleur has been the last 2 weeks, devising the game plan for Malik Willis, the runaway coach of the year is Kevin O'Connell.
Through three weeks. Yes. Yes. Hands down.
Because
but
again,
hold on. I mean Matt LaFleur probably deserves one vote.
Sure.
For what he did with a backup quarterback that 100%. Was here for 18 games.
Yeah.
Because his game, he's a very good game planner, and we'll talk about it later. He's just got to learn to be better at the microphone. I mean, he really does.
Okay. I understand your point.
Yes.
Counterpoint. Does he?
Yeah, he does.
But it's kind of better for us.
In radio? Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm wonderful. Saying. That's what
also,
I'm
that's
saying.
That's Rich coming from this particular program. Being better at microphones.
We're not very good at turning him on. Yeah, that's, not very good at turning him off.
That's fair.
Saying the things we're supposed to say into him. Saying the things we're not supposed to say into
that's
him.
That's fair.
Little glass houses. But hey, if anybody knows what to and not to say, it's us.
You know what? Hey, one of those takes one to know one situations.
Are you saying because we're missing someone today? That doesn't have a filter?
I don't know if you should be pointing fingers over there particularly.
Yeah, but it's expected from me. Right?
We're grading on the Chewy curve again.
I mean, we do.
No, it's expected.
For you to mess up?
No, for me to say things I'm not supposed to say.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like the 4-year-old kid that repeats things that he has no idea what he's doing. He's just repeating what parents said and... I think has that's a little bit of a potty mouth.
I think that's a convenient story you like to keep.
Well,
us.
I'm sticking to it, all right?
Again, we've created this monster. We have no one to blame but ourselves, Josh. You just remember that.
Yeah, I know.
800-990-3776. A couple of things to clean up here from the text line before we get to Jason Wilde. Craig saying, the Titans also let LaFleur go, too. No, they did not. He left Tennessee to take the head coaching job for the Green Bay Packers. So he left Tennessee, certainly has history there, but he was not let go. And then who did I correct? Because Joel is saying, Gabe, don't correct everything that is said. Other opinions are fine. Not everyone is wrong. You could be humble too. Who did I correct?
Today?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
All right. I apologize for correcting whoever I corrected for whatever that was.
I didn't clock it.
Okay. All right. All right. I apologize. Jason Wilde. Don't have to apologize for him. He's coming up next. Jen Gabe Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. Joins us 3 times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, dudes.
What up, guy?
How you doing?
Doing great.
Great, brother. Glad to hear it.
Are we going to go through the entire charade? And I know the charade. Oh, hey, what's up, Stella?
That was Stella. They went along with Paula and the girls to take the girls to school, so I'm only walking one dog to bark during my segment.
Well, I feel Stella's the only one who ever usually talks on the radio. I don't know if
Stella's
we've heard.
Stella's a star.
I like that name.
Stella?
Is that a human name?
Oh yeah, we're a human name family. We have,
but see, I mean, Jason, are people calling their daughter Stella? I would consider it.
Yes, there are definitely I think there's a Stella in Sydney's class.
Oh fact. Really?
Yeah,
it's a good name.
Thanks.
I digress.
So is Mark.
Yeah. Oh great. Hi Mark.
Hey, by the way.
Hi Mark. Where's your dad? So boring.
You know what's another good first name?
What?
Tucker.
Tucker's a solid name.
Which is, again, increasingly more and more like Mark, but that's another discussion for another day.
Well, no, somebody had just actually called in and wanted Chewy's take on Tucker Kraft and the way that he's been playing, especially his blocking. And I just feel that with each passing week, Jason, you have to feel better and better about your, this guy reminds me of Chewy take that you had.
Yeah,
I do. And I was ridiculed by my sidekick, who I love dearly. I'm also with three interceptions in three games, even though I did not compare them as players, the gravitational pull that Xavier McKinney has on his teammates on defense, when I made the comparison that he's got some Charles Woodson to him that way, I stand by that as well. You know, I have made a few comparisons to old school guys lately, and I feel pretty good about most of them at this point. But the Tucker Kraft one, I mean, that's over. Like, that's a first round knockout.
Like, should he change his number to 89?
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Ben Sims, congratulations, you're now 85.
But they,
I think he should.
But they were asking me here, my two buddies here in the studio, the difference between Musgrave and what happened there. In Kraft, I think, Jason, this is a perfect example of a player that struggles to process things and a player who gets it, right?
Well, but yes and no. I mean, first of all, like, I don't know what Luke Musgrave will become, right? But he's a fantastic athlete. Maybe it just takes a little longer. He played a lot last year, but maybe there are aspects of his game that he's still obviously a ways away on. The Tucker Kraft thing, I think he deserves a ton of credit. He's obviously really bright, but I was talking to Jason Eck, the head coach at Idaho and one of Tausch's best friends, who was the South Dakota State offensive coordinator when Tucker was there. And I didn't realize this. I think it came up on draft day and I just forgot about it, but he played nine-man football in, like, some tiny podunk South Dakota area. And when he got to South Dakota State, he had no idea what he was doing. Like, there was two more guys on the field. Everything moved a lot faster. And what Jason's point was that once he figured things out, he just took off like a rocket. And I think that's what we're seeing with him in the NFL too, right? Once he figured it out about two-thirds of the way through last season, he just took off. And I brought that up to him at his locker on Friday because I was going to write about him this week. And he acknowledged that. Like, he didn't know what he was doing early on last year. There's a reason he wasn't playing. But then everything has clicked in. And my biggest concern is that, you know, and he's a throwback too. Like, you – not only is it a compliment to him – to compare him to you, it's a compliment to you to compare him to you. Because, I mean, look, I don't know, and this isn't to disparage any other players in today's game, but I don't know how often guys truly play through injuries anymore. And for him to have had a shoulder injury going into the game, because remember, he was wearing a red non-contact quarterback jersey throughout the week in practice, for him to injure it or re-injure it enough that he has to come out of the game and is listed as questionable to return on an official injury report. And then for him to return says a lot about his toughness too.
Well, the funny part about that, Jason, watching the game, like, they went down to the sideline to give, and he's questionable to return. And, like, the very next snap he was out there, like, well, I guess he's not questionable. He's packing the game.
Yeah, but again, I don't, like, when you get a designation like that in game, that's, I don't want to say it's no joke. It's not that serious, but it is significant. It is meaningful.
Yeah.
And, and most guys don't come back.
I would agree.
They usually end up then being downgraded to out, unless their injury is so serious that they're out right away, which that's always the worst sign during a game.
So, Jason, let's stay with injuries. I saw LaFleur's clip on Friday when he was asked about Jordan Love. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, so I feel like for the last 2 weeks, I've been that meme of Brian Windhorst doing the two fingers.
Why would they do this?
Exactly. So I think there's been enough breadcrumbs now to tell you. And again, this kind of goes back to what I was saying. Like, Tausch did one of the worst jobs ever of hiding the fact that he talked to Favre. And when he was quoting a former NFL quarterback saying you don't know what you can play through until you do it, it was not...
That's what my dad Irv used to say.
God, I didn't realize you talked to Craig Knoll. That's really interesting. What are the chances he and Ty Detmer caught up?
Yeah.
I do think that there is, because they keep kind of, they keep being tells, right? Like when, and I've gone through this, but for those that don't listen every day. So Thursday we ask Stanovich, how will you know that Jordan is ready? And he says, well, Jordan will tell us. Okay. So that's like breadcrumb number one for Hansel and Gretel. Then on Friday, as Chewy just mentioned, he's asked if he's medically cleared. LaFleur is asked that. He nods and says, we're working through that. The follow-up question is, does the nod mean he's cleared? And LaFleur says, we're working through that. And then I'm the one who follows that and asks, how much of Jordan playing is up to Jordan? And him saying, a lot of it is up to Jordan. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have, after the game, LaFleur is asked, I think by Rob Domofsky in Nashville, when did you know it was going to be Malik? And he says, I'm not going to get into the details of that, which was his only short answer of the entire press conference, right? I mean, he went through that whole rigmarole of, you guys can't fathom what he's doing, and you think you know, but you really don't know. So he was very expansive in a lot of his answers, except that. Then yesterday, to cap it off, we took a different approach as a group, and we did other questions first, thinking maybe we can get him warmed up a little bit, and it seemed to work to some degree. Now he still had a, you know, smirky, I don't know how much he's going to do, but I'm sure he'll be limited answer to Bill Huber. But as we went through that, I asked him flat out if he took team reps last week, and he said yes. Okay, so now we know that he took team reps, which we didn't know by the end of the week. And then the coup de grace was Rob Domofsky asking, was the workout before the game to prove whether or not he could play, or was he not playing and it was just to get him some conditioning work and a workout on game day? And LaFleur said it had already been decided that he wasn't playing when he went out for that workout. And now that is not uncommon, but the whole ruse was, well, we're going to give him up to 90 minutes before kickoff. That led us to believe that that workout was going to be to see whether or not he could go or not. And it turns out the decision had already been made. So when you add all those pieces up, and then on top of everything, I can't remember what I asked, but his answer was that he has a legitimate injury. Okay. So when you feel the need to proclaim that, he at least know that there are people, whether they're inside or outside of your building, wondering why he's not playing it. Because why else would you make the statement of he has – anybody who saw what happened in Brazil knows he has a legitimate injury. Yeah, I don't need you to tell me that. Are you reminding others that he has a legitimate injury that he's not playing with? Like, look, I used this example yesterday, and I'll stop rambling in a second. But somebody mentioned this while we were doing our show in the YouTube comments, and I went back and looked it up. RG3 had like a PCL injury second year as a starter, maybe. He misses one game, he plays through it, and then he suffers like a major, major knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, that dude was never the same after that. Like,
correct.
It was done for him. He was on TV shortly thereafter, right? So if I am protecting Jordan's interest, if he's my brother, if he's my son, if he's my client, whatever it is, if I'm in his circle, I'm like, look, dude, if you don't feel comfortable going out there, don't go out there. The stakes are too high. So I don't know enough about it, and I haven't talked to Jordan about it, but I do think that there's a feeling that, I mean, otherwise, why does LaFleur say that? He's trying to be honest. He's also trying to protect the player. And it almost feels like he's kind of caught in the middle and he doesn't really know what narrative he wants to get out there.
And he's probably, my guess is, a little pissed.
Yes.
because the agent's calling the shots here and not the medical team. That's how I see it.
I think all those things are components of it. But again,
Ponsel, you know, picked up on all the breadcrumbs over there. Attaboy.
He's very good. Hansel Chimura. But I would also
like Hansel
also
better than Mark.
Yes, I do.
Not as good as Tucker. The other part of this that I'm curious about is if maybe LaFleur's thought process has changed since before the Colts game, when he's probably sitting, oh my God, can this guy, is Malik Willis going to be able to do this? We're going to be 0-3 by the time this guy considers playing again. And now they've won back-to-back games with Malik Willis. Maybe he's softened his position. But I agree. I think that was another emotion that was in the mix.
This game was first, like the Monday after, our guy Shefty was on Pat McAfee's show saying, hey, maybe this Minnesota game is a game that they could target. So this date has been out there. Uh-huh. Are you expecting Jordan Love to play this week?
I think it's a greater likelihood. I still, I would like to talk to Jordan on Wednesday to get a better idea from if there's a difference in his tone, in the things he says, in his demeanor. Look, this is a really big game. And, my point earlier that I just think we live in a different era now, where obviously Favre played through everything. I mean, my God, the guy was taken out of the game for a concussion, ran back onto the field, and then threw a touchdown against the Giants before they realized he had run back on the field, and then they brought him back out, right? Like, he had that ankle thing when it was
in
95. It looked like it needed to be amputated, and he didn't miss a start. Like, yeah, and look, in fairness to Rodgers, he's no Favre because no one is, but I mean, Rodgers played the entire 18 season with an MCL tear, which was more severe, and a cracked tibial plateau in his knee. He played with a dislocated throwing shoulder in 08. So these guys have set a standard, and I said this to you guys on the Green Bay game day pregame, like some of the dads that were hanging out before Sid's game that day, like they were all, oh, Favre would play, Rodgers would play. And I just don't think that that's a fair standard to hold Love to. Those guys were different. And most 68 different starters 2 years ago, a quarterback throughout the league, 66 different starters last year. Like, this stuff happens, and the Packers were just lucky that, A, it didn't happen last year, and, B, by some miraculous act of God, they have won two games and Malik Willis has delivered for them.
Jason, always appreciate the time, buddy. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.
It is always a treat, boys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde again. Catch him coming up in about 90 minutes on Wilde and Tausch. Do want to tell you about our friends over at Mantelity, because it doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue for any guy. And it certainly was for me. I just didn't realize it at the time. Tired, groggy, just didn't feel like myself. Didn't have that energy really to get through my day. You're getting tired as the day goes on. And I just thought, okay, we're getting a little bit older, waking up, doing the morning show instead of doing an afternoon show. That's just the way it is. But it doesn't have to be that way. Mantelity can help you get your testosterone levels where they should be and help you compete at work and sports like you did years ago. Have that energy, not just to get through your day, but to attack your day. There's no better safe and insured medical solution available. Go to lowtusa.com. Find out more about Mantelity because they allow treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mantelity and their low testosterone treatments at lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it. But it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Here's your airline, guys. Good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
.800-990-3776 is the talking text line. Brett wants to know if there's going to be a Josh versus Gabe showdown again today.
Talk to me. What happened?
Depends upon. Well, I was voicing some concerns yesterday, and Josh just decided he had enough.
Oh. Can I hear?
That Wisconsin On Demand, yes.
Yeah, there's a it's a six
it's like a
minute,
6 minute thing.
Yeah, back and forth.
Wow, I don't even know if Jen spoke the entire time.
Was Gabe being negative Nelly?
He was being negative Nelly.
On a Monday?
I was being
after a
toad.
Win?
It was. I mean, it was the two combating things on this show.
Well,
the being a fan,
okay,
and being.
Well, we were talking about
I'll
Jordan
Love. I'll defend both of you.
Like, so okay? We were defending Jordan Love. It was about this time in the show. We were kind of late, and Jen had brought up Jordan Love. So I brought up a couple of concerns I had about Jordan Love and Joshua's.
I'll defend both of you. I took Gabe a little too far in de-toting.
I agree.
And Josh, you're a toad that thinks they can still go 17-0 with one loss. Okay?
I don't know if I'll go that far.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's very fair. I think that's, you know, that if there's one thing about Chewy, he's a fair guy.
Yes.
I did. There wasn't a result I wasn't looking for, and that turned some people against Gabe.
Oh, yeah.
I want to clear the air on that. I'm not anti-Gabe. Gabe is one of the best friends I have. So there were some people I muted who were mean.
So what were you saying about Love? He's in the wrong?
Well, no, so we can get to that because there is a texture, okay. And I definitely want to get to that because I think the breadcrumbs that Jason laid out in the timeline is very interesting. But I just said I was concerned because Minnesota's looked good, you know, in terms of beating Houston. And I think that if the Packers are going to beat Minnesota, that they need a healthy Jordan Love. They need him to be playing well. And if the NFL preseason is now the first three games and he played week one, wasn't great, wasn't terrible, but he wasn't the Jordan Love that he was the last eight games of the regular season last year against, you know, and now he's been out the last couple of weeks. Like, he needs to be sharp. If he's playing, they need him to be sharp because that's how good Minnesota's playing right now. So those were my concerns. Like, he hasn't gotten sharp because he hasn't practiced really the last 2 weeks. Now, we did find out again yesterday that he did take some team reps last week, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to help as he continues to prepare. Again, I'm working under the assumption that he's playing.
They weren't expecting to win both games. Would you agree with me there?
Yes.
So the fact that they did, they could give him one more week if it's not there, because 2-2 is fine, based upon whatever what's going on in the NFL right now.
Considering how I felt Saturday morning, 2-2 is amazing week four.
Yes.
but that's what you kind of like. That's what you were hoping for.
But
after the injury, like, okay, especially after Monday, the Monday after the injury. And you had Shefty going, well, it's 3-6, but maybe that Minnesota game, you go, ooh, okay, he's only going to miss two games. All right, they lose those two. He comes back, he beats Minnesota, we're 2-2, and then we cruise.
Uh-huh.
So it would be a little different way of getting to 2-2 if he doesn't play and they lose the game, but I'm fine with 2-2. I'm fine coming out of the month of September at 2-2. Because you're not out of anything.
No, and the division games are important, but I don't think this game in week four is going to determine whether the Packers are in the playoffs or out of the playoffs.
No.
I think there's a lot of
season
left.
If Minnesota continues to play like this, it would probably...
Division? It could matter for the division.
Like, it could matter for the division. It's going to put a lot more pressure on the second time they play Minnesota if Minnesota keeps this up. But Ben puts out there, learned a lot about Jordan Love's character through this. In fact, if his agents are calling the shots, just like his holdout, this is a way to protect his future earnings, as if he doesn't have enough money. The last two games have proven Love may be replaceable at a hell of a lot of less money. All right, Ben, I'm going to tell you a couple things here. One, not replaceable. Like that. Yes, it's great that the Packers have been able to win these two games, and it's a masterclass by Matt LaFleur. But I think I can reach across the aisle with Joshy and say, they're not beating really good teams with Malik Willis. Yes, you can beat the teams that they've played.
Yes.
Who have a combined now one win between them.
Yeah.
But you're not beating... If you want to go where you want to go with Jordan Love, you know, that's... If we're talking about deep playoff run, you're not doing that with Malik.
Yeah, my whole thing and the reason I was... The Packers got an incredible performance from their head coach and the backup quarterback that's been there for like 30 days. We should celebrate that and be excited, but thank you for your service. Go back to the bench. That's what we needed
for you. Go develop over there.
And the defense.
Yes.
I mean...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
The defense, those turnovers do help.
Correct, yeah.
But bringing them back at home... I'm going to say he plays. If he's taking team reps last week,
Yeah.
My guess is he's going to
play. What are your thoughts of, okay, if his agents are the ones calling the shots, if LaFleur is frustrated, again, trying to pick up these breadcrumbs and make them make sense over the last couple of weeks, is that just...
Well, the agent is the end-all be-all, you know, and he shouldn't be. The agent shouldn't be driving the bus here, ultimately should be the player, because the agent doesn't know how he feels. Only Jordan knows. And plus, the agent has a vested interest, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're 95%, you're going to be wearing a brace. I know the RG thing, three thing is out there. But, you know, I think he's going to be fine. Now, he's going to be rusty.
Yeah.
Because this would be his second preseason game. And he was rusty against Philly. Still played pretty well, but there were some throws that were
Yeah, and look, I know Jason threw the RG3 thing out there, and while everything in there was true, and if you're an agent, you want to protect your client.
Sure.
And, you know, you want to, or whoever it is in his circle, you know, who wants to protect Jordan's future. Part of the reason why RG3 wasn't the same again is because, well, he was more of a runner than a passer.
Yes.
He won a rookie of the year because of how athletic he was and what he could do running the football, and the... sitting in the pocket, passing part of his game hadn't developed to the point where he could just strictly rely on that, which is why he then kind of fell out of the league so quickly when the athleticism was gone because of the knee injury.
Remember when they had to bring in the Nationals manager to try and teach him to slide and he still never figured it out?
What, baseball slide?
Yes.
I completely forgot about that.
Yes! Yeah, there was video of it.
And that thought, see, and I actually thought about that when, because Burrow had a slide last night, like, what the hell was that?
Well, Tua should probably go to that school as well.
A lot of these guys just don't know how. Yeah, I've completely forgot that they brought in the Nationals.
My guess is he plays. My guess is he plays. If he's taking team reps,
yeah,
he's ready to roll.
That's what it seems like to me, and I think he plays as well. 800-990-3776 if you want to join in on the conversation. But you can relive the greatest postseason run in Bucks history with the Bucks in Six podcast. Bucks in Six presents a special series that commemorates the Bucks title run from back in 2021. The thrilling 7-game series against the Nets, the 50-piece from Giannis in Game 6 of the Finals. Immerse yourself in the sounds of each playoff round. Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus audio network. Find it now, bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
God. Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size. It's just what the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
I was about to say, one of the best ideas Chewy has ever had, or it could be one of the worst, is if this show was ever on Sirius XM.
Oh, that would have gotten laughs, Joshy. That was good. No, we were talking about what you do right-handed and left-handed.
Yeah.
And we're talking about sliding.
Yeah, because we're talking about RG3. Yeah.
Where you do it is like, you slide left.
Yeah, so I slide, because you asked me, well, do you slide left or right-handed, which I didn't understand what you meant. So yeah. The way I slid when I played baseball, my left leg was out, and I tucked my right leg.
Do you do anything right-handed?
Yeah,
because you're left-handed.
Yeah, I write right-handed, I throw right-handed. If I kick a ball.
How do you bat?
Left, golf left.
The only thing I do left-handed is shoot a hockey puck.
I do literally nothing left-handed.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. But yeah, that was...
Good to know. And I'm sure half of the audience is going, I know exactly where they were going.
Yeah. If you're a longtime listener of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, you can then imagine the jokes that were made about the
during
things
the
that you may or may not do left-handed that we're not going to bring up on the air. This game is interesting because Aaron Jones, after the Vikings win on Sunday... had some, it wasn't that shocking of a thing to say in my mind, but I know that there are some Packer fans that took exception to this. So, Chewy, I want you to hear this from former Packers running back Aaron Jones.
You told me the other day, you've been saying, don't sleep on Sam Darnold. What is he doing on a weekly basis to make you guys believe?
He's contagious. He's so warm.
He got you a touchdown today. I watched you watching your highlights up on the board. You were cheesing it on the sideline. You were even doing the skull chant before the game after years of coming in here as a visitor. How much fun are you having as a Vic?
I'm having a blast. This is probably some of the most fun I've had in my career. Just a great group of guys in that locker room, great group of coaches. They make it fun to come in here and play. These great fans out here, they affected the game many times. I know you've seen it. I want to say it was close to 130 decibels in here, which is crazy. I've never seen that. So I think it's a hand in hand. Everybody has a piece of it.
What is so wrong about that?
He's having some of the most fun he's ever had. Right. In his
What's he
career.
Supposed to say?
Well, so that's
I
the
miss
thing.
Green Bay. I wish I was still there. 3-0 here isn't the same. Come on.
Well, and also,
lighten up, Francis.
It wasn't his choice to leave.
Yes.
I guess it was. I guess technically, if you want to paint it like that, but he was offered a pay cut and he didn't accept the pay cut.
Also, they're 3-0.
Yeah, they're 3-0 exactly.
And just be yes.
Nothing bad has
and
happened.
And no one
in
ever
Minnesota
in a
yet.
Million years thought they would be 3-0.
No.
Yes.
They beat the doors off of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. People got offended by that. I didn't find one thing he said offensive.
Yeah. And he's. Look, when he retires, he's not going to look back fondly right now on his time
no,
in Green Bay.
No, of course not.
Maybe after he's done. But right now, no.
Yeah.
And I know you've talked about going through this, Chew, when you were trying to make the comeback.
Yeah.
Like, the Packers didn't want you.
Sure.
So yeah. Guess what? Bleep you. Like, that's just
people,
the way it works.
You ever been fired from a job? You ever been fired from a job? Do you still like the company that fired you?
Well, and it's,
now it's a little different.
But and I would say it's different because it feels more personal if you're
sure.
an athlete when you get released.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Josh, I don't know what you went to school for the little bit you went to school for. I doubt it was radio. Right?
No, wasn't.
Right? Like you've had a number of different careers before, and now you love it. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Chewy was working since, what, age 8 or 9 to be in the NFL?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So then when that comes to an end,
yeah.
It's like it's just,
sure.
It's really, really different. Not that, you know, getting fired from a job is not tough, because it is. But when you've been working all that time,
yeah.
And then a team that you've been with for almost a decade says, now we're good.
Well, and you're not just doing 8-hour shifts.
I mean,
you're traveling,
yeah.
You're spending days.
Time goes
days.
On, you get over it and over it. You think Mike McCarthy loves Green Bay? I can guarantee you he doesn't.
He
the
might
way
after
it went
he gets
down,
fired in Dallas.
I'm sure there are still deep scars.
Well, sure, but he still decided to live there.
No, I know. Well,
and
his,
I think his family
his
still
wife,
lives
yeah,
there, right?
Yeah,
I'm not
from
sure
there.
If his wife.
No,
if
once
they
he's done coaching, 10 years after, he'll look back and you know what? That Super Bowl
oh, yeah.
we got in Green Bay was completely awesome.
Well,
but right
get,
now, when you're in it,
yeah,
he's and the way it went down,
the oh, way it went down, yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, yeah, he's going to go into Packers Hall of Fame, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, sure. Just takes time. Yeah. And Aaron Jones will get there. Let him play his 2 years or 3 years in Minnesota. Let him have fun, and then he'll come back. Right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is eventually coming back here. Sorry, Joshy. But he's eventually coming back here.
They're going to retire his number. He's
yes.
going to go into the Hall of Fame.
And then
all
then
the things
all
they did
good.
For Brett are going to be the same stuff.
I won't be there celebrating it, but it totally makes sense to bring Aaron Rodgers back.
Why are you so scarred?
Why wouldn't you celebrate Aaron?
I celebrated him while he was here, and then I hated him. Now he's gone. He's out of my life. I'm moving on.
Yeah, but you're telling me I don't know how long he's going to play in New York, but whenever he comes back for his Hall of Fame induction, whenever he comes back for his number going up on the facade, that you're not going to celebrate that?
Nah. Nah.
What about Craig when he comes back here and manages at the very end of his career? Counsel.
He's not welcome.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Someone needs to be a new owner if that's going to take place. I don't think Mark's going to hire him.
The season played out, you're still grinded by it?
I mean, with Craig Counsell, that one's probably even further back just because.
Well, he's not. I mean,
he got dominated.
Is he going to be celebrated? Sure. But also, like, Aaron won a Super Bowl, Aaron won MVPs. Like, Craig, the best he did was get to game seven of the NLCS. It's not quite the same.
No.
And I understand that in the terms of Brewers history, that's really good.
Like, mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Are people still mad at Holmgren today for leaving or no?
I have a friend who I still can't believe. Yes, he's
really
upset with Holmgren. Calls him a walrus.
Well, he is a walrus. Don't tell him I said that, please.
I don't have it in me to be. I mean,
yeah, Brett calls Favre him Benedict Waldris. Walrus is what he does.
Brett Favre was like the ultimate litmus test for that. Now things have changed precipitously in his personal life and things after, but people forgave Brett pretty fast.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
The second he retired, I forgave him.
Yeah. Yep. Correct.
That's
I mean,
insane.
Well, the third time, like the third time.
Yeah.
Not, when he actually retired.
When he actually retired, I'm like, well, but with Brett, it would have been wildly different if he won, if he went to a Super Bowl and won one with Minnesota.
Yeah, you think? Like, well, hold on. Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
When Rodgers goes into the Packer Hall of Fame,
yes,
will there be overflow into the stadium?
No.
Will there be any overflow into the stadium?
No.
That is crazy to
think
about.
Well, because I think the only reason you open up the stadium is because you're going to have 60 to 80,000 people like Brett did.
Yeah, but, which is insane.
Well, it's... I honestly don't know if they'll ever have a player ever again that could do something like that. Like, Brett's connection, especially when you guys were playing...
I get some.
With the fan base.
I get
like, his
some,
connection with
on,
the fan base
Hold on, I get some credit,
unreal.
Though. I get some credit. Because I was instrumental in keeping him a knucklehead.
Okay, so let
Am
me.
Am I right?
I want to follow. I want to follow the bouncing ball here. Just let me make sure I understand what you're saying. I want to put this together. So you are saying that Brett was relatable because he was a knucklehead,
Josh?
I think that plays in.
Okay.
So because he was a knucklehead and you kept him a knucklehead, that kept him relatable. Therefore, you deserve credit.
Correct.
How much credit are you looking to take?
10%.
I'll give you 10%.
I get 10?
I'll give you 10%.
Okay. Can we pull that?
How do I ask that question?
How much?
Do we deserve credit for keeping Brett a knucklehead and loved by the state? 10%, 20%, 90%.
I fear that poll. I thought we were going to descend in a month.
20, 90. he wants a little or he wants it all.
Yeah. I'm afraid any poll about Brett Favre
all
right now
okay.
isn't going to end well just out of spite.
Okay.
just so you're aware, Marie texted in. She's definitely still mad at Holmgren.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just letting you know, people
still hold a grudge.
Still
huh?
hold a grudge. And I'm sure there's a certain sect of the Packers population that still is mad at Brett.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But overwhelmingly, again, do you think the Packers will ever have another player that fills the stadium on a non-game day for their retirement?
No. I don't believe.
Like that. So the fact that they wouldn't open up the stadium for Aaron isn't a knock on Aaron.
Yeah.
It's just more of an... I still can't wrap my head around what Brett Favre meant to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. Also, Aaron's kind of gone out his way to make sure people don't fill that stadium.
Fair enough.
There's that, too. How many wins could the Packers have if Malik Willis starts the rest of the year? 2 minutes.